All right, it is 6 o'clock. We're going to go ahead and get this meeting started. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. I'd like to officially call this meeting to order on April 2nd, 2024, the regular session of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Ms. Ancona, if I could please have the roll call.
Commissioner Keller?
Here.
Commissioner Nichols?
Present.
Commissioner Wilson?
Here.
Commissioner Zielinski?
Here.
Vice Chair Outlaw Ryan?
Present.
Chair Clark?
Present.
And Commissioner Thomas is excused.
Thank you very much. If you all please stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you again for joining us this evening. A few housekeeping items. The restrooms and drinking fountain are out this door off to the right, just in case you need those while we're having our meeting. And secondly, there is one public hearing on tonight's agenda, which is the first of two required public hearings. So just to reiterate, the commission will not be taking any action tonight or voting. The voting will take place at our second public hearing, which will be on May 7th, our next meeting. So if you wish to speak during our call to audience or the public hearing, please fill out a blue card, which is located in the back of the room there on that table on the side. Bring it up here to our recording secretary, Ms. Ancona, and you'll be given 3 minutes to address the commission. All right. We're going to go ahead and open up our call to audience. Ms. Ancona, do we have any blue cards?
I haven't received any.
Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and close our call to audience since we have no blue cards. And next, we'll go ahead and turn the time over to Vice Mayor Barrett for our council liaison comments.
Yes. Thank.
Whoa. That's extra loud. All right. Thanks. Thank you. We had a presentation and discussion regarding the potential zoning code amendment regarding vehicle storage facilities, but we didn't vote on it yet. So it's sort of a study session, and I know that's something that you all have seen. We had the Rolney development of 132 multifamily units on Vistoso Highlands Drive. And that rezoning of that small sliver of land was passed by the council along with an amended easement agreement that will allow for some landscaped drainage and buffer between the homes there, as well as the architecture and landscape plans. In our upcoming meeting tomorrow night, we have on our consent agenda the proposed architecture for the hotel that this commission saw. And on the first, we're planning discussion and possible action regarding a special use permit for Stone Canyon Sales Center. And along with that, I wanted to mention some other exciting things that are going on in the town. I hope you all are aware that this Saturday is our 50th anniversary parade. It will begin at Ironwood Ridge High School, and we'll move all the way along to end up here by the town hall and the library. And it's that morning. And so we're really excited about it. We have quite a few groups who've signed up and are participating. And our Parks and Rec staff has done a tremendous job, along with our new Parks and Rec director, who has worked on parades before. And I just feel that it's been a big lift for them and that they've done a tremendous job. So I really am hopeful that the community will turn out and we'll have various giveaways and things for children, and I think it will be a fun time. And one of the main comments I have gotten from some families is if we could bring back the Christmas parade. And I don't know if it's something that we can do annually, but we did want to have this big celebration for our 50th anniversary and kind of try out this parade. And one thing that's nice about it is hopefully we'll have better weather this time of year. Fingers crossed, knock on wood. And then the following Saturday, April 13th, is our 50th anniversary celebration. So that will be at JDK Park, if I'm correct, I think. And it will be kind of like a 4th of July type of celebration with bouncy castles and evening celebrations. So I hope that everyone in the community can come and attend that as well. I'm really looking forward to those events. And then along with that, coming up at the end of May, just after school gets out, we'll have our Naranja Park ribbon cutting is on the agenda. And if you haven't gone in and seen Naranja Park from the north entrance off of Tangerine, you really need to do that. It's magnificent, and it's very exciting. I was there this afternoon with my youngest child, and it was fun to see everyone pulling in for their sports practices and playing all over, and I'm just excited for that benefit for the community that is coming very shortly. So go check it out. You can get excited about it coming forward, and that should be soon. And then we'll head into our budget season. You know that the council works hard through May and June towards the budget that I know the staff and the town manager are diligently putting together now. So that's kind of a little bit longer of a report than usual, but we've got a few big, fun community things coming up, and I want to make you all aware of them and invite you to attend. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. All right, moving on to agenda item number one. Ms. Ancona, if you please.
Review and approval of the March 5th, 2024 regular session meeting minutes.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
A motion, we approve the minutes of the last meeting.
I second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion carries 7-0. Ms. Ancona, if I could have the next item, please.
Public hearing, discussion regarding three items related to the expansion of an existing self-storage and accessory vehicle storage use and a path to compliance for a legal non-conforming use southeast of Oracle Road and Hardy Road. The items include Item A, Type 2 General Plan Amendment, amending the land use map designation from Neighborhood Commercial Office to Community Regional Commercial, 2300543, Item B, rezoning from C1 and C2 zoning to planned area development, 2300553, and Item C, alternative parking compliance plan.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Packer, time is yours.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you again. My name is Kyle Packer. I'm a senior planner with the town of Oro Valley here, and my presentation tonight is regarding a public hearing for the proposed extra space storage expansion southeast of Oracle and Hardy. Now, the applicant is seeking to expand an existing self-storage facility and accessory vehicle storage use onto adjacent parcels. And in order to seek review and approval of such a development, three items are up for consideration. Now, these items are all discretionary asks, and again, they are for discussion only tonight. The code does require two hearings for a new planned area development, and the next public hearing is scheduled for May 7th. This property is located south and east of Hardy Road and Oracle Road in that yellow outlined box there, and is approximately 9 acres just south of Circle K and the Sunny Slope Apartments. And it includes both the existing storage facility shown here in blue, as well as two vacant parcels where the proposed storage expansion area would go. To move into the history of this parcel, in 1986, the existing self-storage facility and accessory vehicle storage had plans and construction approved by Pima County, and the following year, the larger region was annexed into Oro Valley, as shown in that right-hand side. This includes Circle K, the apartments, as well as some residential further south. Now, all of these buildings were built prior to Oro Valley annexation to Pima County standards, which means that they are a legal non-conforming use simply because the Pima County standards do not align with Oro Valley's. In 1998, the self-storage facility expanded to the maximum allowed through code, and that was through Board of Adjustment and Town Council approvals. And then in 2005, there was a development plan for the northern parcels that was approved that included a restaurant and medical office. I'll show you that on the next slide. And more recently, just last year, the Board of Adjustment held a hearing on this to reduce the size requirements to enable the planned area development request before you tonight. The standard requirement is about 20 acres, and the applicant sought to reduce that requirement for this parcel only to 9 acres to enable them to pursue this request. Again, here is the development plan from 2005 for those vacant northern parcels, just to give you a sense of some other uses that have been proposed here prior. Again, the restaurant on the west of the site and medical office buildings to the east. To pursue their proposed design, the applicant must amend the current general plan land use map to identify this area as community regional commercial, as shown on the right-hand side, as opposed to the existing neighborhood commercial office on the left. Applications to change the general plan land use map are an expected part of the general plan's lifespan, and proposed amendments must hold extensive public outreach and conform to amendment criteria. Those include the vision, guiding principles, goals, and policies of the general plan. They must also address neighbor concerns and contribute to the long-term stability of the town. Now, it's worth noting the proposed community regional commercial designation actually accommodates the existing C2 zoning for the southern parcel better than the current neighborhood commercial office designation, and would bring the site into stronger alignment with the general plan. When it comes to compatibility requirements, the applicant has taken a number of considerations to minimize impacts, and I'll discuss those in a few slides. However, staff do recognize that self-storage is a low economic contributor, but by providing a community need through expanding an existing use in site, we find that it's a better use than developing a new site entirely. Item B is the rezoning to planned area development that I mentioned earlier. Now, a planned area development is zoning tailored to suit a specific area where switching to a different existing zoning may not be desired or the best fit. Here, the applicant is proposing a planned area development for two more specific areas, or with two specific areas, to better address their goals than any existing zoning would be able to do. The goal for Area 1 of the PAD, where the existing storage facility is, shown on the bottom right of that image there, is to create zoning rules that make the existing development code compliant. Now, this includes modifications to standard C2 zoning to recognize the existing setbacks, wall heights, and lack of landscaping around the drive-up storage units as compliant. The applicant isn't proposing any changes to this area beside creating access to the new development and enhancing landscaping along Oracle Road. Staff additionally have included conditions to prevent exceptions or these exceptions from applying to a new use or new development within this area. This has the goal of bringing this area into compliance over time as new uses or development occur within Area 1. For Area 2, the applicant is seeking different modifications to allow the new permitted use or the new self-storage development as a permitted use and allow covered RV parking within the building setbacks. This brings us to the proposed site plan. The goal is a single cohesive site with access off of both Oracle Road and Hardy Road. The existing facility, Area 1, will remain largely undisturbed, while a new 29-foot-tall, 51,700-square-foot storage facility, shown here in green, would be built along with 68 covered parking RV spaces in Area 2. This area will be screened with a wall, shown here in orange, and lighting from the covered vehicle storage use would be shielded to prevent nuisance for neighbors. Beyond the screen wall, which varies in height depending on the natural grade, there will be 15 feet of landscaping provided to the east and north of Area 2 with code-compliant screening, also along Oracle. The applicant is providing 27% open space where 20% is required, and no changes beyond the improved access and landscaping are proposed for the existing facility. Now, the primary component of the Oracle Road Scenic Corridor overlay that has caused concern at neighborhood meetings is the requirement that 60% of the frontage of a property be clear of buildings to a depth of 300 feet. This is shown by that red line for context. Area 1 was built before these requirements and is legal non-conforming to these standards. Again, with the conditions staff recommend, this area would be brought into compliance with the underlying code as new uses and or development occur. To increase the overall site's compliance with this requirement, the applicant is proposing to keep the entirety of Area 2 clear to a depth of 300 feet. This is more than would be required of any permitted use entering Area 2. Now, item C is an alternative parking compliance plan, and this is because per town code, the existing facility within Area 1 does not meet the current parking requirements. Our code is set up for internally accessed units like the ones on the left-hand side of this image, and the applicant is trying to customize the code to meet the reality of the existing facility's drive-up units, which are the ones shown on the right. Our code is intended, obviously, to address the internally accessed units, which is why this request is being made. Moving on to public participation, there was an informational video and a first neighborhood meeting held in January of last year, and this year we held a second neighborhood meeting in February. The key issues identified at these neighborhood meetings have been building height and setbacks, buffer yards and screen walls, and drainage. And again, the applicant has provided a number of compatibility measures to minimize their impacts. That includes lowering the building below natural grade on the east end, which is included in a rezoning condition, providing a 15-foot buffer yard, and exceeding the required setbacks. This structure remains actually further set back from the eastern properties than the existing apartments to the north. And finally, self-storage and accessory vehicle storage uses are a low traffic generating use. When it comes to general plan conformance, I'd like to highlight that residents, since the adoption of the Your Voice, Our Future general plan, have recognized that changes to the map will occur during the lifespan of the plan, and that they actually recommend those changes be handled through the plan amendment process, which is what we're pursuing tonight through neighborhood meetings, Planning and Zoning Commission, and Town Council hearings. Now, when it comes to addressing the principles, goals, and policies, the application has conformed with the vision as well as 15 of the 17 applicable guiding principles, goals, and policies. Those include providing amenities that meet the needs of current and future residents, creating effective transitions between differing land uses, and expanding adjacent to existing locations and seeking a new site, preserving other sites in the community for more unique uses. In summary, all of these items are up for discussion only tonight, and they are all discretionary. They'll be available for both consideration, recommendation, and action at the next public hearing on May 7th. Thank you very much, and the applicant is here with a presentation of their own.
Thank you very much, Mr. Packer. All right, if we want to go ahead and have Mr. Leon come up, that's who I have in my notes, who's here anyway, with Kim Lee Horn, if you'd like to go ahead and begin your presentation.
Good evening. I'm actually Tom Galvin with Rose Law Group, but Chris and Clint are here tonight. They are more than available to answer technical questions. Chris is from Kim Lee Horn, and Clint is with Extra Space Storage. But it's my honor to represent them tonight. I believe this clicker, I can just use it for the presentation. Madam Chair, members of the Commission, thank you so much for your time and consideration. As I said, I'm Tom Galvin with Rose Law Group, representing Extra Space Storage. And I like to say that Extra Space Storage is proud to have been doing business in Oro Valley for decades. And in fact, as you heard tonight, this site has been in operation since 1987. And I'd like to congratulate the Vice Mayor on the 50-year anniversary. And as you can see, this site has been operating for more than half the history of Oro Valley. Since Extra Space acquired this self-storage facility at North Oracle Road in Rest Hardy, and what we've seen as a result of the town's growing population, the existing facility has been massively successful for local business, as a local business, with over 90% occupancy for many years. In fact, many Oro Valley residents use self-storage services, and these factors, coupled with the fact that most residents and businesses use self-storage for services, typically do not want to travel more than 2 to 3 miles to utilize these facilities and to access their units, and this has led to Extra Space Storage determination that more storage units were needed at this particular location. In fact, in order to continue serving the local community at this familiar, very convenient location, Extra Space Storage now proposes to expand the facility, the existing facility, to the adjacent vacant parcel, which has been vacant for quite some time. At the same time, this proposal will allow Extra Space Storage to redevelop the facade of the existing facility. The PAD that you heard outlined tonight by staff, and I do want to congratulate and thank staff for the wonderful job they have done, for the feedback that they've provided, the ideas and the creativity, and also the useful information you heard tonight, the PAD proposes to allow self-storage uses on the adjacent vacant parcels while simultaneously addressing the legal non-conforming aspects you heard tonight of the existing facility and making room for improvement of its facade. The PAD governs site development through a set of design standards applicable to current and future development. And now I'm going to walk you through this presentation. As you've seen here, the site is particularly interesting when you look at that panhandle aspect coming off of Hardy Road. So it already addresses and presents considerable challenges on what would be useful for that site if, for whatever reason, this project was not approved. You've seen tonight the existing facility here to the south, which is a legal nonconforming use. You can see the adjacent parcels are directly abutting the property. And once again, I want to highlight that panhandle that comes up to Hardy Road, which presents some challenges in terms of access for any other potential use that would want to be there as of right. You know here tonight that this is a rezoning to PAD, and the underlining is C2. And uses that are as of right for C2 include marijuana establishments, restaurants, and bars. There's a whole long list, a litany, but these are the things that I want to highlight that would be alternative or for whatever reason, this isn't approved. So we think this is the best possible use for this site as outlined tonight by staff in conformance with the general plan. This is the conceptual site plan as you can see here tonight. Of course, we're going to obey the 300-foot setback, which is also a considerable issue here at play for the site. No changes for the existing Area 1 facility. I don't want to confuse you too much with this chart. There's a lot of numbers being thrown at you. But I just want to highlight in bold the very particular aspects of this property. And then here, for PAD deviations, if you look over to the far right column for Area 2, new development, no change on the setback, no change for side and rear, no change for landscaped area around the buildings, and no change for the view corridor not used for building purposes. And also here at the very bottom, as requested, cover RV parking structures shall be permitted within the setback. This is also a very good indication of the landscape plan. You can see this considerable amount of attention that was paid here for landscaping, and I think that's really important. There's a few points that I want to make regarding environmental impact and destruction of desert vegetation. Regarding environmental impact, the relocated building, as you heard, will be relocated to a 300-foot setback along Oracle Road. The building is oriented to minimize impacts to the viewshed, especially in regard to Push Ridge. This is infill development along existing commercial corridor. It's an existing commercial zoning. And the inventory salvage plan has been reviewed and approved by city staff. This is creating enhanced landscaping and open space. In regards to desert vegetation, we are taking inventory and have a salvage plan that would be approved by the city. And this is enhanced landscaping with appropriate native plants and trees. This is the parking view showing looking south from Hardy Road. There is considerable attention that has been paid to this issue. We were at the neighborhood meeting that was happened here about 5 weeks ago. We've received feedback from neighbors. We have directly communicated with neighbors. There were several emails that we received, and we have been answering them, and we're paying particular attention to this issue. So we appreciate their concerns, but we think we have mitigated all of those and allayed their concerns. And then this is just what I think is to be beautiful renderings and just absolutely fantastic to show what can be done here at the existing site to meet a growing need for people in Oro Valley who would like to utilize not only extra space, which is a fantastic operation, but a perfect site. And so I'm just going to take you through, show you what the new building would look like here from Oracle, what it would look like from Hardy Road. And then I just want to talk about the parking requirements. I think staff did a really good job tonight of explaining what we need there for the compliance request. I don't want to belabor the point, but I think staff really did a good job outlining it here. And public participation you heard about tonight. And if there's any feedback that we still need to consider and take in, we will absolutely be all ears. And so once again, this would be the changes to the site plan that occurred after the neighborhood meetings, including high-quality, dense desert landscaping, 6 drainage areas conveying flows to on-site detention, retention basins, and water harvesting infiltration areas, the minimum building setback over 80 feet from the east property line, and that's here if you're looking for folks affected by the east, and then reduce building elevation to ensure maintenance of visibility to the west. And here I think this is really key point. These are the screening and wall as outlined by staff. We're paying much attention to this to make sure that the landscaping here and the screening is done in the appropriate and best manner to minimize any effect. And then final comments. This is an amenity that there's definitely a need here in Oro Valley. There is a need for additional storage units. We're at 90% occupancy at the site for many years. Self-storage is one of the lowest traffic generating developments, as I'm sure you are aware. And the existing facility averages about 40 to 45 customers per day, maybe up to 3 customers in the same time in the morning, 5 in the evening. Security cameras are at the monitor loading areas and exterior areas of the building. The minimum building setback will be over 80 feet from the east property line. There's no vehicular maintenance or washing that will be permitted on site, and the use of generators would be prohibited. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. All right. We are sure we will have questions for you after the public hearing.
So okay. Thank you.
Bring you back up shortly. All right. So now we're going to go ahead and open up the public hearing portion of this meeting. Ms. Ancona, do we have any blue cards?
I haven't received any.
Okay. Yep. Come on right on and bring them right on to Ms. Ancona. And anyone else who may have a blue card, please bring them right up here and we'll call you up to the microphone. Well, Eric.
Soom.
Thank you. Eric Soom, if you can go ahead and please state whether or not you are an Oro Valley resident. You have 3 minutes.
Yes, I am. We are directly behind the facility. There's 4 houses, I believe, that are directly impacted. And I know we had a couple other people here last week, and I think we were all unanimously opposed. A lot of it had to do with the view, the sight that we currently have of sunsets directly behind our home. But he also addressed one that, just as an aside at the end, saying that generator use would not be permitted. I don't know what sort of, once the facility is built, I know that generators have to be run. I've been an RV owner in the past. And I know generators have to be run. And what are we going to have if 15 feet behind the wall, behind our home, if they want to come in monthly, run their generators for a half hour? Because every RV has to have an RV generator run as part of maintenance. So I doubt they're going to come in, take their RV out, run their generator, and then bring it back. Assurances would we have that generators wouldn't be there? Because not only is the sound an issue, but I believe smell would be an issue too. And also, when it comes to wildlife, we have bobcats, owls, everything like that around our neighborhoods. And with RVs, pack rats become an issue. You start putting out poisons for them, which of course they're going to have to do. That's going to impact a lot of the wildlife in our neighborhood as well. And I just don't believe, if this had been an apartment building, I wouldn't have been happy about it, but something that would be of more use for Oro Valley. In our neighborhood, I don't see any use for anybody needing an RV storage facility. And so it's going to be everybody driving to our neighborhood to bring their RVs rather than the people in our neighborhood that are utilizing this facility. So that's all for me.
Thank you very much for your input. All right. Do you have any other? Yep, come on up. All right, Ms. Molsky, if you could state if you're an Oro Valley resident, and you have 3 minutes.
Yes. We own property in Oro Valley where our business is located. It's just north of the location, and it's at 9040 North Oracle. So I wanted to express concerns about the rezoning. One of the things that we value so much about Oro Valley is the lack of urbanization and the mix of natural landscape along with community amenities and businesses. And this particular space is one that does help break up the vacant parcels, help break up some of the development along Oracle. It is prime real estate, in my opinion, based on being foothills real estate. open land, which is a very, very limited real estate commodity. And one of the things that I heard the senior planner mention is that storage use, I think if I understood, is a low economic value. And no disrespect, but I would agree. There is a extra storage space facility located on Oracle 1.6 miles north, so it's very, very close. And my concern is that these sorts of projects, though well-intended, contribute to urbanization of communities that people seek out because they have more natural landscape. As I was driving down Calle Concordia to come to this meeting, I saw horse crossing signs. And I think that's such a beautiful history of this community and that it should be preserved. It sounds like the zoning history of this property is complex. But I would say that zoning serves the purpose to preserve the intention, the long-term intentions of a community, to balance like residential with open space and appropriate business developments. So I also, like the previous speaker, would encourage this project to be in another location. I feel that it is not well suited, and the amount of rezoning and requests to me speaks to that directly. So that's it. Thank you so much for your consideration and time.
Thank you so much, Ms. Molsky. Do we have any other blue cards? Anyone else in the audience? All right, we're gonna go ahead and close our public hearing. All right. Are we good with, we'll go ahead and open it up to the commission. If you guys have any questions or comments for the staff or for the applicant? Commissioner Nichols.
Yeah, I have one for Mr. Galvin. Does the current extra storage unit on in the that exists on the site, does it have RV storage already?
Could we please move up to the microphone so that we can get you on recording?
Madam Chair, Mr. Nichols, your question was, is there existing RV storage on site? And the indication from Clint from Extra Space Storage is the answer is yes.
And do you allow them, the RV owners, to run their generators?
No. Madam Chair, Mr. Nichols, no, we do not allow them to run generators on site.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So just kind of a follow-up to that. So as the gentleman asked during the public hearing, you know, what assurances do they have that if the question that came to my mind was, how can they report it? If somebody is coming there after the office manager is gone flipping on their generator, what can they do about it?
Well, as you know, Madam Chair, members of the commission, that we would be bound by the terms of the PAD of what would be approved. So obviously the company would have extra motivation and incentive not to be afoul, basically not to be breaking the law. But at the same time, I think maybe staff could better answer that question. But I would recommend that if there's any violation of a PAD or of any stipulations, that people would contact city to report a code violation. But Extra Space Storage has been operating this site for decades. There have been no issues. And if I may, I just want to address the other things that were brought up today by public comment in terms of what is the best appropriate use for this site. Oracle Road is already a commercial corridor. As we saw tonight, this is already a very challenged site. There's no access from Oracle. The only access would be from Hardy. And I have to say, if there was an apartment complex that would be approved here tonight, I think this room would be full. This would be a question about density. It would be a question about traffic. It would be a question about noise. I do think that the points that they raised tonight were very good concerns, especially regarding refuse and pack rats. But imagine if the other uses that were allowed here as of right, for instance, a restaurant or bar, how much garbage and how much refuse would they be generating? And I think the concerns about pack rats and any other issues emanating from that would be even more dramatic. And so, yes, staff did indicate that this is a low-impact use, but I think that's the best possible option and viability for the neighbors being who live directly adjacent to it. And at the same time, going back to your original question, Madam Chair, the PAD stipulations would be a strong mechanism and enforcement for the folks sitting here behind me. That is the assurance that they have that is in writing that Extra Space Storage would be responsible and liable for any violations.
Thank you. So again, I mean, maybe to dial it back just a little bit, is there a phone number that they could call maybe to call the on-site manager or something?
Yes.
Like,
yes, hey, so there would absolutely be phone call, email, whatever communications that would be required, even social media, extra space storage, or do everything they can to make those methods of communication available. The company has a great reputation. It has hundreds of sites. So I think they will do everything in their power to make sure that there is someone communicating with people, especially if something arises that someone could be responding to immediately. And I think it's important to do that.
Gotcha. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, and please.
Chair Clark, if Mr. I could, Smith, yes. You know, from staff's perspective, just to follow up on that point, you know, if it's the commission's preference to maybe add a condition to restrict the use of generators, we can certainly make sure that is clearly stipulated in the PAD. So then that becomes a code enforcement issue. And so then we have something to follow up on and say, yes, that's against code, and we can follow up on that. So just throwing that out there, should the commission be interested.
Thank you, Mr. Spaeth. Commissioner Wilson.
Continuing on with that, the hours of operation are 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., as I understand. I did, however, see on your website that for, I believe, paying extra per month, some folks could have 24/7 access. Could you address that, please?
I'm going to ask Clint to come up here and address that question specifically, because that's extra space policy.
Yeah, hi, I'm Clint with Extra Space Storage. I actually used to be the district manager for that particular site. Now I work in the development side of the business. As for 24-hour access, you're correct. It does list that as an option. However, the people that are given access are very few and far between, and they've got to show a business need for that to occur. And the fact is, we don't have anybody at that particular site that has 24-hour access.
So I would like to see conditions that say no 24-hour access, no washing of RVs, and no running of generators on the site.
I think on the balance for the ones regarding the generators, we're okay with. As you heard tonight from Clint, there is a policy regarding 24/7 access. I allow that up to the commission, whether or not that's something that they want to pursue, which if you do, we respect, but we think that we already operate fine with the current policy, but I think we are okay with the stipulations regarding the generators.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any other questions, Commissioner Wilson?
So I'd like to talk about the wall that runs on the east side and then turns left. So the height on that wall is gonna run between 12 and 14 feet, as I understand. Is it going to be a straight wall?
This is a Chris question for Kimberly Horn, but yes, it's a straight wall.
I have more, Chris, if you want to step up to the podium.
Hi, everyone. I'm Chris Lee. I'm with Kimberly Horn.
So the length of that wall is how much?
The approximate length will run along the frontage of that property along the eastern boundary. As far as the total length has to be determined, but our intent is to take it from a 15-foot offset from our eastern and northern boundary line at that point, and then run it down to where it will connect with the area one as shown over there.
Yes, I understand that. Does no one know how long that wall is?
Off the top of my head, I don't have that length.
Ballpark? 300 feet?
Probably, yeah, could be about 300 feet. I would have to take a look at the site plan again.
And the drawings?
It's not dimensioned on the drawings.
Is it not dimensioned? No. Yeah, that's...
So the reason I bring that up is I would like to see that wall stepped to break it up. It's a very long expanse.
Mm-hmm.
You could put you know this.
Like you're talking about like the diamonds, the landscape diamond areas.
Yeah, or tree, you know, a thing like this so the trees can go
there. For the tree well.
Or just step it.
Chair Clark, Commissioner Wilson, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was waiting for you to finish your question. So actually, it's a code requirement that any walls longer than 40 feet have to be stepped to break up that mass. So I don't think they're to the point yet where the actual construction design has happened, but that is going to be a code requirement they'll have to incorporate.
Asked and answered.
Perfect. Thank you.
Any other questions, Commissioner Wilson? All right, you may continue. All right, someone else have a question?
Excuse me,
Commissioner Zielinski.
Thank you.
I'll get there.
Of course you will. It's fine. One question I had when we were out there was answered by the slide that you included that showed the topographical, the height of the different things. At first, I was concerned that the 29-foot might infringe on the people on the east, and I can, what was explained to me about the cutting back of some of that 6 or 8 feet and then raising it up, be about the same height as the apartments that currently exist. So that question went away in my mind with that description. One thing that I should have driven by that I didn't is, how does this building with the sight line from Oracle Road compare to other buildings in the area? If I go up and down Oracle Road, are buildings more than 29 feet, less than 29 feet, or do we know?
Sure, Chair Clark, Commissioner Zielinski, we definitely have buildings that exceed 29 feet, and we have some that are less. So, yes, it's kind of a mix on the east, east side of Oracle.
Because I would be concerned about it remaining a scenic corridor, and I know there's a lot of commercial along Oracle Road, believe me. But if there's other buildings of that same height and they're not an issue, then I guess I can live with that. The other thing is this setback in the back, and I'm surprised that doesn't raise some concerns, because putting an RV parking so close to that wall, like decreasing the setback, what was the setback before the 80 feet? Down to 80 feet? What is it by code?
What we looked at originally was doing just a, I believe it was a 50-foot setback originally, but after talking with staff, Kyle in particular, he gave us the recommendation of doing the 3-to-1, applying 3-to-1 horizontal feet for every vertical foot of building. So that's how we arrived at the initial number of 87 feet for a setback, and then with some site planning and layout, we were able to extend that even further beyond.
Yeah. Chair Clark, Commissioner Gordon, just for clarity again, it is the underlying C2 zoning and the Oracle Road Scenic Corridor have a building setback requirement of 50 feet or, pardon me, so I can move this back a bit, 3 feet of setback for every 1 foot of height, whichever is stricter. So in this case, the 87-foot setback is the stricter requirement that they have to adhere to.
Because I thought I heard or read in there that this was a needed change to allow that setback.
So within the overall PAD, the existing facility, Area 1, does have a setback request that allows the existing facility to move into compliance. I want to say with that facility, the setback is 25 feet, and they're requesting a reduction to 21 feet. I might have to refer back to that document more specifically to get the solid answer for you.
Okay. The existing building, though, is not to the west of the residential area. There's something else back there. That 21 feet isn't an issue with current arrangements or layouts?
So that 21 feet is non-compliant, which is why they have to request the setback. They have to request that modification in order to achieve that compliance.
Okay. So when you go to the PAD, you've got to make it, take it away from being legal but non-compliant. Okay. Got it. It was also an interesting question about the, interference of rat poison and things like that. It's something a lot of us that live in next to natural areas are concerned about. Once I got my head together, 10 or 12 years ago, I stopped using such things and went to more mechanical traps or have a heart or whatever. This may not be for you. Are there any restrictions at all in Oro Valley on rat poisons to protect the wildlife?
Chair Clark, Commissioner Zielinski, we do not have any restrictions on that. Sometimes if we get complaints about rodents or, I mean, you know, if it becomes a code enforcement issue, we get involved. But it's not a restriction on the use of rodent traps and things like that, of poisons, no.
Okay, so that would have to be approached as a separate issue, completely devoid of this, just a general enhancement. Okay.
Thank you.
I have a couple follow-ups on that. Do we know what the height of the apartments are that are just adjacent to the proposed site?
Yes, the height of the apartments just north of this location have a varying height. The natural grade there slopes upward from west to east, and so measures there have been between 18 feet to 24 feet, depending on which section of the apartment you're looking at.
Thank you. And the building height for this new development is, where are we looking at?
29 feet.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And then my other question is, are there any issues with rodents now at the current site?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Any other? Yes, Mr. Keller. Commissioner Keller.
Just point of clarification maybe, but I understand that east end of that new building is going to be built below grade. Do we know how far below grade that building is going to sit?
We did a preliminary analysis, and actually in that report, we took a look at what we would do is if we just held it at existing grade at that point and built around it. The actual height of it going, kind of stepping its way up, we want to stay within the town code of not exceeding 6 feet of cut in those areas. So as we did a preliminary analysis, we saw the elevation that we saw, just for reference, the base elevation of that pad was at a 38, and then the surrounding houses on to the neighboring, we estimated were about a 64 elevation for a pad. So we saw a couple elevation differences as we're getting in there, because right now everything's very preliminary to make sure that we can build everything to code, but we didn't see anything that was going to have this building tower and exceed what the surrounding buildings would be and impacting any views. That was our intent, too, with that slide.
Any other questions? Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Keller.
Follow-up?
Sure.
Go ahead.
You just have a follow-up for him, for Commissioner Keller? Go
yes.
ahead, Commissioner Zielinski.
Okay. When we were out there, I asked a similar question, and when they told me about the 6-foot undercut, and then there was a 22-foot high apartment complex and then 29-foot high apartments. That sort of made it very similar to the current apartments that are out there as far as the total height. So that's what I gleaned from this. And, you know, I'm sure Kyle or you gentlemen can correct me on that. So it's a good question. It's what I had. Not be self-serving, but
thank you.
That was recognized also.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Zielinski. I'll get the commissioner down one of these days. All right, Commissioner Wilson, please.
So two parts. The first for Kyle. There are a number of things that the applicant has in their proposal. Things about, for instance, desert trees will provide canopies at maturity to form a continuous screen, that sort of thing. Is that something that those kinds of things, will they be written into our conditions, the conditions it might be? Or do we need to go through their proposal and suss those out?
So Chair Clark, Commissioner Wilson, those are standard requirements through town code. For example, our landscaping section 27.6 requires that they can only plant the approved plant list within our town code, which limits to native vegetation. An additional recommendation, or rather requirement, is that trees be planted to ensure survival at maturity, which typically involves planting to ensure that canopies are close, but not crowding each other to the point of not being sustainable. So those kind of requirements are baked into the code that they'll be that their future forthcoming development plan will have to adhere to.
Okay, thank you. And my question for you folks is, I just want to make sure I understand, you are not agreeing to limit 24/7 access. Is that correct?
We can limit that if that's the desire of the council.
I just want to make it so everyone can hear. Clint said that the company's okay with that. It's not our preference. It's obviously up to the decision of this commission here. We respect that sentiment. Just for business practices, we just don't feel like it's a necessary item. But if that's something that's offered in motion, we're definitely not going to be screaming and yelling about it. We totally respect that item, but it's not our preference. However, we understand it, and if it's passed, then we will comply with it.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Just a follow-up question on that. How many extra space facilities do we have in Oro Valley?
The answer is two.
Two, okay. And so both of those have the 24-hour access? They do. And so have there been any complaints or anything of that nature?
Madam Chair, no, there's been none.
Okay.
Follow up to that?
Sure, Commissioners.
But you also said that no one currently has that permission, right? You said that no one uses that.
No one is currently using it, but we do prefer to keep it as an option. Yeah. If, for example, one tenant came in tomorrow and needed it, and as we outlined, there's a strict policy for it. It's for a business need, and that's the reason why we would like to keep it. But we would understand if the proposal passes, if
but
the motion passes to do so.
But you've been here since the 1990s?
The building's been in operation since 1987, and Extra Space has been operating it for two decades.
So it's really not an issue for you either.
Yeah, and it's something as an operator, we take that very seriously. We realize that nothing good can happen anywhere at 2 or 3 in the morning, and we want to make sure that the people that are requesting that have very good, valid reasons to be there, and we limit that access to those people that can demonstrate that ability.
You had the same mother I did. She told me nothing good happened at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
One other question. As far as the management concerned, is there going to be somebody that will live on site there?
There is somebody actually right now that lives on site.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
I wanted to address this. I think it's within our purview for me to ask this. This is probably a question for staff, but someone in the audience asked about more density along there and being commercial and everything like that. The way I understand zoning, and believe me, I'm a neophyte in the past year, but right now the zoning is sort of locked in, and someone would have to buy that site and be willing to come to us and ask for rezoning to a non-commercial use. And I guess that's a question for Kyle or Michael.
And Madam Chair and Mr. Zielinski, if I may, also they would be able to come in and utilize a use that would be available as of right under the C2 zoning.
Chair Clark, Commissioner Zielinski, sorry, I was trying to multitask here, and sometimes I'm not great at that. But I think I got the gist of your question, is that it's currently zoned C1, so somebody could absolutely come in here tomorrow and propose a code-compliant permitted use in C1, and if it's code-compliant, the town would have to approve it. So, I know a lot of times the comparison is versus, a proposed rezoning versus vacant, and that's not necessarily the comparison for this piece of property as it is zoned C1.
Okay, because what I've seen so far in this my past year with the group is that there's still some land left in Oro Valley that is vacant and has been that way since the inception of the town, but it's never been zoned that way. And even though a lot of people living near it, and I would understand it if I was living near it, would want to see it continue that way, that probably isn't going to happen unless they can afford to buy it out.
Correct. And Madam Chair, Commissioner Zielinski, you make a very good point. And Extra Space Storage is not the owner of that subject parcel. And we live in a country where, thank God we do, that property rights are paramount. So the owner of the property could decide tomorrow, for whatever reason, to install another use in that property, as staff eloquently outlined tonight, that would be code compliant.
And
Chair Clark, if I could also add, I apologize, I should have caught this sooner. So there is actually a condition in attachment 3 of your packet that limits access to the self-storage units from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. So I think, Commissioner Wilson, that probably gets at the same end you were trying to achieve.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions from the commission? Please, Vice Chair, my gosh, I'm tongue-tied tonight. Outlaw Ryan, please. Commissioner Outlaw Ryan, please.
Thank you, Chair. The question's for the applicant. So considering the current use rights under the current zoning and the amendments that we're being asked to consider, I'm reviewing the documents that were prepared for us and have questions about how these proposed changes would affect or be impacted by our Town of Oro Valley vision and guiding principles. So specifically, we have a community goal to create and maintain a robust local economy and job market that provides opportunities for quality and employment and build on Oro Valley's assets and encourage high quality growth. So how, applicant, would you be able to address that? And also land use and design policy, how would your development plan or the applicant's development plans impact our goal and vision to reduce heat absorption by buildings, parking surfaces, and other outdoor public areas?
Madam Chair, Commissioner Ryan, thank you for those two very good questions. I want to take them kind of backwards. I think what we heard tonight from staff was really a good delve into the guiding principles of the town. And I am not going to tell you that I'm an expert on the town's guiding principles or the plan, but I think what staff outlined tonight was very good. But in terms of, I think here you have a minimal impact to the environment. In our application, you could see that we take great care, one, for open space. The requirement is 20%. We're going to be at 27%. We have a very good plan for vegetation. We have a very good plan for salvage. We have a very good plan to take care of wildlife. And I think a use like this, which is really not impactful, is definitely not going to be too much of a burden, I would believe, on the town itself from an ecological standpoint. You think about other uses that could be there. You could have a gas station. You could have a marijuana dispensary. All these different uses that are available as a right under C1, as staff outlined, I think would be most impactful. And for those issues that you raised, going back to your first question regarding the economy, any good economy, especially for a town like this, a town that's known for affluent residents, many residents who may not be here full time, but also its size. It's not exactly the biggest, largest city or metropolis. But I think what Oro Valley needs is a good mix and a good balance for its economy. You can't just have completely high-wage jobs, just like in certain areas it's not good to have completely low-wage jobs. But you have to have a wide mix, and you have to have a panoply of different uses here in the town. I think what is key is that this site is already existing as a self-storage facility. So it's going to expand. You will have more people that will be working there. But at the same time, what is the whole point of the self-storage facility? It's to address a need for the residents. And as I said tonight in our presentation, people don't like to drive 2 or 3 miles more than necessary to a self-storage facility. So if there is a need of Oro Valley residents who want to utilize self-storage facilities, what would be the impact if they now have to drive 3, 4, 5 miles because we're already at 90% capacity? I hope that addresses the first part of your question. If it doesn't, I apologize.
No, thank you.
Okay.
I do have a follow-up on that. How many people do you employ now in the current facility, and how many in the future?
I'm going to allow Clint to answer that, and if I did anything wrong to mess up the previous question, I'll allow him to clean it up.
Thank you.
We currently have 2 employees at the facility, but one thing I'd like to expand on the previous question is we also support many small businesses at that facility. I can tell you from personal experience how many people I've seen in and out of that facility that keep their warehouse space there for their small business because they don't have room themselves to keep it at their home or another facility where they're at. And there's a number of small businesses that do utilize that, and they're operating right here in Oro Valley.
Thank you. Any follow-ups? Any other questions? Any other questions? I do have, maybe this is staff question, regarding the RV storage. I know we have like eight. How many do we have currently at the existing space? I know we said, I can't remember the number.
About 20 spaces.
20 spaces. Okay. And is there any other RV storage within Oro Valley?
Chair Clark, there is one additional location. Mike, do you remember? What was it? In the Foothills Business Park.
And do we know how many spaces are there?
Want to say it's 30-ish, but I don't believe there are very many.
Okay. And what's your occupancy on those RV spaces?
We have a waiting list.
Okay. All right. That, I think, is all the questions that I have. Anybody else? Yes, Commissioner Wilson.
Do you collect sales tax on self-storage rentals?
I don't believe so.
I think, can staff confirm that or not?
Chair Clark, Commissioner Wilson, the only tax that would be collected from this facility, as shared by the Finance Department, would be sale on locks, equipment, packing tape, those kind of items. So there's really not sales tax generated through this.
Chair, Member Wilson, also, if they do build it, there will be construction sales tax, but we don't have a special tax for any kind of space rental.
Thank you. Okay, do we have any other questions? All right, seems like we're satisfied up here on the dais. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you all, appreciate it.
All right, and I just want to remind everyone that we are not taking any action on this agenda item. We will be doing so at our next meeting in May. I know there was a couple of blue cards that came up at the last minute who didn't quite make it. Come to our next meeting. You'll have an opportunity to testify then if you would like. All right, if we can go ahead and move on to our planning update. Do we have an update there, Mr. Spaeth?
Just imagine
Chair,
the spinning
one second,
Microsoft
sorry.
Wheel.
Well, I'm just going to go off the cuff. Thank you, Chair. So I know we have the second public hearing scheduled for this particular item on May 7th. I believe that's the only item we have at this point. We do not have any neighborhood meetings or anything scheduled, but I strongly encourage you to take part in the parade that the Vice Mayor mentioned it during her portion of the meeting. So thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Parades are super fun. I'm excited to have them here again in Oro Valley. All right. And with that, making sure I have a, you know, good, we have a motion to adjourn.
I motion to adjourn the meeting.
Do I have a second?
I second.
A second.
All right. Thank you. We are adjourned at 7:03 p.m. We'll look forward to seeing you guys next month.